And so today, what I thought it'd be good to do is that we not only remember those who transitioned from this life to the next, but we also want to especially remember those who transitioned while in the service of the Lord. In the service of the Lord. And it doesn't take our minds long to begin to wander and find a person of faith that we remember who has gone on now to be with the Lord. Maybe it was a preacher or a teacher or a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife or anyone really who we remember for their service in the Lord. And it's with that in mind that I want us to go ahead and turn over to the book of Hebrews this morning. In particular, Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to start in chapter 10. And I'm going to go ahead and read verses 35 through 39, which is really setting us up for chapter 11. There the writer of Hebrews tells his audience that you're not to throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. You see, what the author is doing here is trying to encourage his hearers to have the courage to remain faithful servants of the Lord under whatever circumstances that they've been undergoing, that's been pressuring them, so that in the end, the Lord will reward them. And to do that, he calls to their memory all of these examples of faithful men and women recorded for us in chapter 11. Now, while it is true that this chapter expands upon the many examples of faith in the scriptures, all of these examples of faith are examples of faith in action. Because faith in action, well, it goes hand in hand. And that's exactly what James says to us in James 2, 14 through 17 when he writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So, with that in mind, back in Hebrews 11, we read about all the many acts of faith by those in the service of the Lord. And it's from these many acts of faith that we can learn a lot about faithful service to the Lord, because even though they're dead, they still speak to us. Just like those Christians that we remembered. You know, just like the writer says here about Abel in verse 4. And really, I think that's true of any faithful servant of the Lord. Their death is not the end of them. They still speak to us. Their impact is still there in our lives because of their example left behind of faithful servants, service to the Lord. So what we're going to do this morning is draw from those remembered in the service of the Lord in Hebrews 11, five attributes of a faithful servant. Okay, I'm going to just sort of draw them out of here. There's a lot to really look at, but we're only going to draw about five. The first thing is that they understood the meaning of service. Okay, they understood the meaning of service. You got to know what you're doing, right, if you're going to serve. You know, one of the primary examples of faithful service is Abraham. And we can read about Abraham in verses 8 through 19. And while it is true that Abraham is considered the father of the faithful, Galatians 3:7, faith to Abraham wasn't simply belief. But it was belief in action. Back in James again in chapter 2, but this time in verses 20 through 24, James rebukes their understanding about all this. He says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. Excuse me. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. These things go together, you see. And so those men and women on our list of faithful servants back in Hebrews 11 knew that action had to go along with their faith, or else it'd be useless. Now, you can believe that you're going to have dinner, but unless you're out there preparing it, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, you can believe that you're going to have a place to live, but unless you're doing something to, you know, earn the income to have a place to live, you know, it's not going to happen. So Abraham knew that faith and action go together. He knew that. And those who truly followed Abraham's way of faith knew that too. You have to act upon your belief. Or else James, again, wouldn't have used him as such an example, and neither would the writer of Hebrews have used him as such an example. And so as we look over all these faithful servants of the Lord in Hebrews 11, we know that they understood the meaning of service. They also undertook a walk of service. Again, just skimming through Hebrews 11, going down to verse 8, it says, Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. Okay? Now he said, yeah, he's just go. He went, right? And so Abraham speaks to us today saying, when God calls, go. And God also says, in looking at Abraham again, when tests come, trust. And that's down in verse 17 when Abraham offered up Isaac. And then moving down a little bit further, down to verse 29, Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And so Moses speaks to us today saying, against overwhelming odds, move forward. And then in the next verse, down in verse 30, Joshua marched the army of Israel around Jericho for 7 days. Last day, 7 more times. That's crazy. And so Joshua speaks to us today saying, when it doesn't make sense, keep going. And so right from here, we see that, you know, we need to keep on walking. We need to go. We need to trust. We need to move forward. And we need to keep on keeping on. And so as a people of God doing our best to undertake a walk of service, we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7. We walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. And we do that because Jesus is the master servant, Mark 9:35. So again, those who remember in the service of the Lord understood the meaning and undertook a walk. They also accomplished works of service. Again, doing a little bit of a survey of Hebrews 11, we see there in verse 7 that by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now you have to think about that. You have to think about Noah. You know, you sometimes think that God wants us to accomplish difficult works of service. Try building a 450-foot ark with just 8 people, you know? In Genesis 6, 15, and 16, God tells Noah, this is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And by the way, you don't have any machines or construction equipment like you do here in the 21st century. You got your little hammer and your saw and your chisel. Get to work, you know? It says, make a roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door on the side of the ark and make it lower, middle, and upper decks. That's quite a project. Of course, God gave Noah some time to accomplish that work of service. Some would like to think about 100 years. Now, the amazing thing about Noah's ark is that what Noah is remembered for has application for you and me today in the Lord's church. Take a look over at 1 Peter. You see, God doesn't want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. And in the time of Noah, the very fact that it took him about 100 years to build the ark gave the people of his time time to repent and choose to follow God and be saved. But they didn't repent, and so they weren't saved. And so now today, under the new covenant of Christ's blood, Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, that God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, out of the whole world, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, while the water cleansed the earth of those unrepentant sinners of the world back in the day of Noah, and 8 souls were saved through that immersion, just like the souls that are saved today by the immersion of Jesus Christ, we are spiritually cleansed of our sins, you see. All right. You know, God presents us with many opportunities for works of service. It's not going to be building an ark. It might seem like an unsurmountable task like that, but it might be doing something simple like sending bulletins to the shut-ins. It might be writing cards of encouragement. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's song leading. Or it might even be doing the best to share our faith with those around us, but doing it all faithfully as we serve Him. Those who remember in the service to the Lord also withstood the trials of service. They also withstood the trials of service. Again, back in our main text in Hebrews 11, we're going to go ahead and read a portion of the text. This is all the way down in verses 35 through 38. Here in Hebrews 11, 35 through 38, in speaking of those remembered servants who withstood trials, the author writes this. He says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Now, these faithful servants aren't named for us here. But we're to understand that some of the people we might know from the scriptures. For example, the women who received back their dead were most likely when Elijah gave a son back to the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. And when Elisha brought the Shunammite son back in 2 Kings 4. Now, the others jeered and flogged and chained and imprisoned for their faithful service to the Lord are really too numerous to list. As for those stoned, well, there's a number of those too, but one that comes to mind is Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest that in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 19 through 22. He was trying to serve the Lord, they stoned. And Isaiah, wow, Isaiah. Isaiah is one of, it says they, but is one of the individuals that tradition says was sawn in two. And Jezebel, well, we know for a fact that she was one of the individuals who put many faithful servants of the Lord to death with the sword in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. And a lot of folks who tried to follow the Lord were destitute, tried to do their best, but they ended up being persecuted for it. Many of the prophets, those spokesmen for God, were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated as well. These and many, many, many more we remember in the service of the Lord. And they speak to us today. Their example speaks to us today. And in this case, it says to you and me that when life goes bad, don't give up. Don't give up. There's a better life coming. You know, they didn't receive the promise at that time either, but they saw it from afar. Hebrews 11:13 and verse 39. Even in the New Testament, we think about Jesus and we think about the apostles and all who withstood the trials of faithful service to the Lord. And then I was speaking of stoning their Stephen from Acts chapter 7. When while doing nothing but faithfully serving the Lord, he is brought before the Sanhedrin and stoned to death for proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. But just before he died, he left this encouragement for us in verses 55 and 56. We're told that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, you might be feeling like you're being stoned to death. You got nothing to look forward to. But Jesus is there waiting in a place of peace. Again, those we remember in the service of the Lord understood the meaning. And they undertook a walk. And they accomplished works. And they withstood the trials. And because of that, they've become witnesses of service. They've become witnesses of service. Moving to chapter 12 in the first verse, Hebrews 12:1. That verse reminds us that we are surrounded. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And this is what the writer's talking about in the book of Hebrews. But today, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses too, all those faithful servants of the Lord that we remember. Now, when the writer tells us that all these faithful servants of the Lord are witnesses, he doesn't mean that they're up there watching us in some sort of stadium, maybe sitting there with a clicker going, hey, let's go check out this person. No, that's not what we're talking about here. They're not witnessing what we're doing, okay? On the contrary, it's their lives that are witness for us to look to. Their lives are a testimony for us to reflect upon. And so as we do our best to do whatever you do, working it all for, you know, with your whole heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men, Colossians 3:23, we can look at the examples here in Hebrews 11 for us to be reminded that there is meaning in what we do. There is meaning in what we do, and that we can walk the walk of faith like they did, and that we can accomplish works for the Lord like their example, and that we can even be able to withstand whatever trials that come our way for just simply trying to serve the Lord, just like the many faithful servants in Hebrews 11 did, by looking ahead to that reward that does await us. And think about this. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:16 to let our light shine before men that they might see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. You see, our example of faithful service becomes a witness for others to remember too. Wouldn't you want to be remembered as someone who faithfully served the Lord? I would like that. And so as we take the time this weekend to remember all those who have faithfully served our country and have transitioned from this life to the next life, let us also remember all those in the faithful service of the Lord, because their example is always there to encourage us, even though they have transitioned from this life to the next life. And remember, too, that as we live our lives in faithful service to the Lord, remember that others will also remember us, too. Of course, it can be hard to remember others, just like it's sometimes hard for others to remember us. For example, there was once this elderly man who moved into a retirement community, and it wasn't long before he had made a number of friends among the other residents there, including some lady friends. Well, there was this one lady in particular that he was especially attracted to, and, you know, she was attracted to him. As a matter of fact, they spent a lot of time together. Well, finally one day, he proposed, asking her to marry him. Well, the next morning he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and he said, I'm really embarrassed to admit this, but I know that I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no. She said, oh, thank goodness. I remember saying yes to someone, but I couldn't remember who asked me. Every Christian wants to be remembered for our good and faithful service. We want to especially be remembered by the Lord when he comes to claim his own. We all want to hear our master say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Matthew 25, 23. Of course, in order for the Lord to call anyone a good and faithful servant, we have to first become a servant of Christ. We have to first become a Christian through our belief and our repentance and our baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, 38. And then, of course, continue serving him until either we go to be with him or he comes back to take us home. And so for any reason, whether it's for prayers or maybe even praise or to put Christ on in baptism, you're encouraged to come forward now as together we all stand and sing.